Hello, and welcome to the business of podcasting. I'm your host, Craig Hewitt from Podcast Motor. Here, each week, I'll sit down with one of the leaders in podcasting to find out how they're using this fantastic form of content marketing to connect with their audience, grow their brand, and ultimately build their business. If you're not already podcasting, then today is the day to start, and here we'll show you how. Okay, let's get on with the show. All right, welcome back to the business of podcasting. This week, I have a very special guest on the show. This is the first guest of the show who is a customer of ours at Podcast Motor, Nina Kaufman. Nina, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Craig. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. It's a pleasure. You know, I've had this in the back of my mind for, gosh, what is it, a year and a little bit since we've been working together. And we've been helping you with your show. And I see all the wonderful stuff you've been doing with your podcast. And I'm glad we're finally able to get you on to talk about kind of digging into a little bit of what you're doing with now you're sort of rebranded and relaunched the show under a different name. So Cash Out Big is the name of the new show. So can you tell folks who might not be familiar with you and what you're doing, kind of how you got started in podcasting and kind of what it's doing for your business?
Absolutely. I got started in podcasting because I got bored with blogging.
Right.
And
amen, right?
Amen. Well, you know, I love to, don't get me wrong, I love to write. And I've been blogging for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, both on my own blog and for Entrepreneur Magazine. And what I found over time as I was moving into the area of, and the focus of the podcast is, how can we help B2B service businesses become fully functioning, get off the backs and the shoulders of their owners, and ultimately become a sellable asset? So there's not, you know, there's a lot of different bits and pieces of information out there. And I also understood that, again, as much as I love to write, I'm not the only expert. And it's kind of boring to be in this echo chamber of, hey, it's just me writing my blog post. So one of the things that did get me into podcasting was the real and exciting opportunity to talk to other people about that. You know, have a conversation, learn something new, and start to create a community of people who are all around, how do you create scalable service businesses?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think we talk about that, you know, my friends that run similar businesses to Podcast Motor, we talk about that a fair amount of, you know, a service business is tough to scale if you don't do it the right way. It can be every time you get more business, it's just more headache. But I think you certainly know this. And what I've learned is if you do it the right way, it actually is a really great business model.
Yes.
The technical upfront investment of software or certainly something like e-commerce is just not there with the service business. So cool. So got into podcasting to sort of stay connected and pick the brains of some of the people in your world. Have you found that it's sort of raised your game in terms of your connectedness with the industry and your knowledge?
Oh, absolutely. And I will say, first of all, I had been a DJ at my college radio station.
Cool.
Yeah, WZLY 91.5. Woohoo! When the wind is blowing the right way, you get reception. It wasn't really a strong signal, but I loved it. So I love that opportunity to have the conversations with people and explore the issues and really drill down into, as you say, that sort of brain picking for those 25 to 30 minutes around a very particular topic. And I think that yes, it's not only raised my profile, but it has also helped shift my profile in that I have become very, very well known as a business lawyer. And people were, and still are, coming to me for legal services, which is wonderful and it's terrific. But there is another aspect to my business that I'm eager to launch and to roll out, and we will be shortly, and that's also where the podcast comes in. So it's a wonderful bridge between what I have been doing and what I do understand about M&A and how to sell a business and all of those other ancillary things around how do you create systems, how do you make sure your customers are coming in regularly, what do you do about leadership, all of those other things that aren't just law.
Sure.
And now there's a place for them.
So the podcast is feeding a bit of both, I'll say funnels, it's a terrible term, but it's feeding both sides of your business at this point?
Yes. Yes, it is. And as I say, it's also providing a really nice bridge so that I'm not quite as pigeonholed as I have been.
Sure, sure. Do you find you're changing the types of clients you're taking on as on the lawyering side of your business as opposed to some of your colleagues?
I think so. Well, it depends on, are you talking about my colleagues as consultants or my colleagues as lawyers?
Oh, as lawyers, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, very very often when lawyers go into business, they are looking to, and especially those who start their own practices or want to build, what they want to do is build a law business. That's their focus. What I found, it was just my own personal journey, is that while I enjoy the law piece of it, I recognize it's only one tool in the arsenal. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think that's mixing metaphors there. One tool in the shed. Thank you. One weapon in the arsenal, tool in the shed. Let's be non-combative here, and we'll say tool in the shed. Or maybe we'll just have podcast mode or edit that piece out.
There you go. We certainly are farmers with pitchforks these days, as we were talking about earlier, aren't we?
So as I say, law is only one of the systems that helps a business really be healthy and fully functioning. And so I found that as I grew as a business owner, I became really fascinated by the intersection of all these other systems and what goes into making a business really run. So I think that is something that sets me apart in that I have a broader sense of the business functioning overall. But I also know I'm not going to be able to do it all. And that's where, again, the podcast helps me create that community and those resources for all the other aspects of creating a scalable business.
Sure, sure. So I know you're probably one of the more advanced marketers that I know, sort of personally, in terms of how you've gotten the podcast integrated into your marketing channels. And I know you're working mm-hmm. with former guest of the show, Scott Smith, to sort of help yes. optimize and fine-tune that process. Can you kind of give a run-through of like where the podcast sits and what unique value it offers your branding and your marketing efforts in your business?
Okay, what do you mean by where it sits? Do you mean where in that funnel?
Where in the funnel and what purpose it has in terms of trying to reach people or trying to reach the same audience in a different way, or what purpose do you think it has?
Oh, sure. I think certainly the first purpose that it has is just making people aware of these issues. The statistics are actually not encouraging that if you do all the math, approximately 90% of all small service business owners will never be able to afford to stop working. And that's either because their business isn't generating enough for them to throw off the extra cash for them to squirrel away for retirement, or they're not building their business in a way that it can be sellable at the end of the journey and provide that balloon payment to help fund all those other things that they want to be doing with their lives. So I feel like this is an unserved area. Because, B2B service businesses, it's not sexy, it's not tech, it's not even women in tech, and it's not just women's entrepreneurship, it's not environmental, it's not socially conscious, it's just, what we do is we help everybody else do what they need to do. And that's not sexy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this really gives a voice to all of those businesses that are kind of overlooked, gives them a place to learn from what are some of those top tips and tools that they can easily put into place without, again, having to completely change the DNA of their business. And I think where that sits, if you will, is that first place of outreach, that broadest place to be able to say, here's the community of people who are speaking and care about this issue and care about your having a business. That gives you options at the end of the day.
Sure, sure.
And from there, that leads into other opportunities for us to connect through my newsletter, which actually summarizes the top tips, because we know not everyone has the time to listen to an entire podcast every week, and mine comes out every week. So it's really nice to be able to say, okay, I couldn't get to it this week, but here are the top tips. I can either learn from that or say, oh, you know what? I want to go back and listen. So that's an opportunity. And because it's a show, the same way we used to have the serial radio shows or television shows, there's the opportunity for advertising, if you will. Whether it's, hey, make sure you get the top tips, or hey, I'm launching a webinar, or look, I have a colleague who's offering this to our listeners. It is a way to communicate what else can be of service to that audience.
Are you finding email is the most effective way to communicate with your audience? You talk about your newsletter going out around every episode. Is that the primary way that you're engaging with people after or aside from the show itself?
No, there are several different things that we're using, only because people tend to be inundated with, you never quite know right now where they are residing, or, whether it's they're looking at their emails, and then you hear studies that they're not looking at emails, social media or not. So we use a variety of media. So yes, we have the email list, but also we promote through our Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter feeds each time that there's an episode. We also encourage our guests to do their own promotion of their episode. So that's another opportunity for that to get out there. And then each episode has a post on our blog. So there's also a place there for it to be searchable online.
Yeah, yeah. Are you, in terms of social media, I would be interested to hear what you feel, or if you have analytics behind it, what is the best of those three sort of channels of social media that you feel like is giving you a good return on investment of reach and or engagement with your audience? Is it Facebook or LinkedIn, you think?
That's a great question. I have to confess, I didn't look at the numbers before I got on the show.
No, it's okay. It's and it doesn't have to be exactly quantitative.
Yeah. I would say anecdotally, I'm finding Facebook, because Facebook can sort of be that intersection between the business community and just people doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, people are encouraged to engage a little more on Facebook. So there may be actually more listeners who are coming from LinkedIn, but they're engaging more through Facebook.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I had a conversation with the folks from Libsyn, the media hosting company, a couple weeks ago,
right.
talking about social media and podcasting, and going to have him on the show in a couple weeks, but talked about this, where so many people in our world think that LinkedIn is the place to go for true business-to-business connections. And the fact for the vast majority of people is it's still Facebook. No matter what you think of Facebook and privacy and these people, especially, between now and the end of November 2016 with the political stuff, it really is a very powerful place. We had someone on the show a couple weeks ago talking about the engagement they see from Facebook groups, these closed private Facebook groups being just exponentially higher than they see from sort of a third party on your own domain, forum or chat group or something like that. It's amazing mm-hmm. to me how Facebook has effectively positioned themselves as the place where people connect.
Absolutely.
I think that's really what it
Absolutely.
Is. Absolutely. Because I'm not a Facebook user from a social perspective. I am from a networking perspective, I guess. I don't post pictures of my kids, but I use it for business a lot, which I think is interesting.
Interesting. And I will say, and there are always opportunities, and that's the fun and challenging part of this journey, is that everything gets tweaked and gets evaluated. It's that principle of Kaizen, that sort of continuous improvement. And I will say, and when it comes to LinkedIn, I probably haven't mined it as well as I could or should, because it's still sort of in an earlier part of this the business development journey. But where I see from LinkedIn is that a lot of the other service providers and people who are in the conversation of how do you help these businesses with succession planning or even just scaling and delegation and continuity flows, those people are on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, while, all right, maybe there's more talk on Facebook, LinkedIn is still going to be an important part of our strategy.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I feel like LinkedIn still has less of the entrepreneurial crowd and more of the true business crowd. So I think looking for solutions to real enterprise level business problems probably still favors LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Interesting. So you were mentioning about transitioning from your law practice or adding to your law practice with kind of a suite of offerings of your own that your podcast is helping to serve. Can you talk about sort of how that's come about and what its evolution has been like and kind of what the plans are for the next few months with it?
Sure. Well, what it came down to is a lot of the things that we talk about on Cash Out Big, that if you're only selling time for dollars, your capacity to earn income is limited. And I live in New York City. You need income to live here. So I don't necessarily want to be working 20 hours a day. Thank you very much. Just came back from a lovely vacation, and I would like to do more of that. So it's, some of it is Success Magazine has a whole cover story on the U economy and how people are taking more control and designing their lives more. And there's more of that designing I want to do. So as I think about, what do the next 5, 10, 20 years of my working life look like, I want it to involve more opportunities with leverage, and not leverage in the sense of debt, but leverage in the sense of not just the time for dollars. So that's where having an opportunity to create online training courses, group programs, masterminds, and move from there is a way, again, to get more out of the time that I am spending. And that's part of where the podcast is useful, because it creates awareness, gives me an opportunity to reach out to people and give them opportunities to connect with me and with my company, Business Exponential, and our webinars and the programs we're going to be launching. And that way, people have an opportunity to self-select and say, yeah, I want more of that. I'm listening to this podcast. I'm getting a lot out of it. I'm getting a lot out of the guests. I love the questions that are being asked. I like where she's going with this. I'm in with the mission. I want to double the value of my business. So with that, as I say, it gives people an opportunity to take that next step and say, I want to know more. I want to do more. I want to have more and get more involved.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that the digital asset sale is such a, talked about leverage, such a high leverage, high scalability avenue in your business. I think we are getting into it on a little bit different level. We're creating some solutions for podcasters on the technology side, but I mm-hmm. think it's a really nice supplement to a service business, because in one way it could sort of help with scale without,
sure.
without the work of systems and people and everything, but potentially can sort of even out some of the ups and downs that we see in a service business. So that's great. That's great that you're...
Yes, that cash flow roller coaster. Yay.
Yeah, right. It's makes you
don't
nauseous.
Like him at Coney Island. Don't like him in my business.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So in terms of timeline or progression, are you sort of most of the way to releasing what the final version of those products are going to be? Or where does that stand?
Yes, absolutely. I have just finished the testing. So the engine is in place. So for anyone who goes to businessexponential.com, it's all there. And I'm thrilled. I feel like a proud mama finally. but it's an interesting thing about podcasting, and also an interesting thing about these programs, because these were things that have... What people will find on Business Exponential is actually the iteration and reiteration of what I've been working with over the last 3 years. So that's where I might encourage any other podcasters who are listening to say, what you start with may not be what you end up with, and that's okay. Leave some room for that flexibility. And Craig, you and your team have been really wonderful, as I've said, I want to work things a little differently. I want different kinds of information on the blog post. I want to have different open and close music. I'm changing the name. All of those things that, you know, where I'm trying to be more responsive to the marketplace, and it's also great to work with service providers who are as well. So, and part of being able to step into and sort of walk my talk is having the mechanics, is having the technical engine to deliver what it needs to deliver. So we have a webinar called Cash Out Big, which looks at the five main pillars of a scalable and sellable service business. And our program, Business Strong, like Boston Strong, we want you to have a business strong business. And that's the offering that people will hear about on the webinar as well.
That's great. So webinar is the primary tool through which you're planning to sort of sell and present these products?
The webinar is a start, and a webinar is also a great way to, speaking of leverage, talk to, you know, potential co-marketing partners. So if there are other people who also have outreach to that kind of entrepreneurial community. And it's not just the startup community. It really is more seasoned business owners in the B2B service areas. Mm-hmm. So people who are reaching out to those, then that's an opportunity to say, wow, here's some great information that dovetails really nicely with what I'm doing. And that's one of the things that I love, about Cash Out Big and Business Exponential is it really is very collaborative. Whereas law can sometimes be, all right, I've got my little silo and this is what I'm doing. The whole idea of building a business that can be sellable in the long run involves a lot of different disciplines.
Yeah.
And a lot of different experts. So it can take a village.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And it should. It should not be something you do on your own. So that is where I'm very excited about that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I look forward to hearing how the sort of launch and the rollout of it goes. I think that it sounds like a great fit for sort of the brand you've built with the podcast and with Business Exponential. And I'm sure it'll go off great.
Thank you.
So for the folks who are kind of just getting into podcasting or maybe don't have near as much experience as you do, we've talked a lot about why podcasting is so great and I'm the biggest cheerleader for it, but what are some of the challenges you've run up against, with the podcast in your business that have been difficult to overcome or that maybe you haven't quite cracked yet?
Well, I'll share for people who are newer to podcasting, who are thinking about podcasting, one really important factor that people tend to gloss over is the time and the discipline. I don't know whether that's two factors or one factor, but part of it is because I was a regular blogger, I had the discipline and I had created it within my schedule to make sure that the post got posted when they, you know, on schedule, that content got submitted on schedule. And I broke my back to make sure that things went off without a hitch, because to me, especially when people don't have an opportunity to work with you face to face, podcasting is, and when people see that you're there every single Wednesday, it helps with reliability. It helps with trust. And they often don't have other things to go on. So making sure that episode gets out at the same time each week is really, really important. And it's not one of those, oh, well, you know, I'll get around to it. You want to know that you can make this commitment to it and that it makes sense for your business. Because otherwise, there are so many podcasters, as you know, who start and they do 3 months of episodes, maybe, and then they drop off and nobody hears from them again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really disappointing. And it's also, it's a waste of your time because it takes a lot to think through what format do you want? How exactly are you doing the recording? I mean, for me, because I have different elements to creating a show, I wanted to engage you, Podcast Motor, to put those together. So understanding what is my process going to be and thinking about all that before you even just shoot from the hip and say, oh, yeah, that's it, I'm podcasting. I have an iTunes channel. Hooray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you do a great job of, like you said, creating the systems and the framework for not just you, but for us, which is great. So we have, a lot to work with and know what your expectations are. And I think that's the barrier to entry with podcasting is so much higher than it is with blogging. Because blogging, you sit down, you write for 30 minutes, and it's done. There's no microphone, there's no iTunes, there's no Libsyn or Blueberry, there's none of this. And I think that, to your point, you have to set yourself up for success, to overcome those, even aside from the time that goes into creating the content, much less all the other stuff that goes with it. So that's a great point.
Absolutely. And as I've said to a number of other people who've asked me about, ooh, you're podcasting and I want a podcast too. I say, think about, is it really going to be useful for your business? Because for some other businesses, it may be enough just to have a white paper. Mm-hmm. And have those available on your website and just do a sort of a circuit of social media promotion if you have, let's say, 5 or 6 of them, instead of creating fresh content every week or every 2 weeks, whatever it is. But there reaches a point where you say, well, if I do it once a month and once every couple of months, you're not going to get the listeners, and then you're not going to get the bounce that you want by choosing podcasting as a medium.
Sure.
It would make sense to choose something different.
Yeah, we have some customers that come to us and say, hey, I want to do a show once a month. And to them I say, no.
No.
One, I don't know that I want to, as the business owner, to go through the work of getting a customer up and going and launching their show for them to do a show once a month, because the chance of them quitting are very high then, right? So as mm-hmm. as a business owner, but as a sort of person in the podcasting world, I know that you have to show up every week, like you're saying. You have to show up at 6 a.m. every Wednesday in people's iPhones, or they're going to forget about you and replace your show with somebody that does that creates content every week. So exactly. I think specific to podcasting, having that expectation for yourself of showing up every week is really fair and really good mm-hmm. for the potential success of your show. We look at content marketing, blogging and podcasting as something that works really well for us. It obviously works really well for you. And I think that it works really well for most businesses. You just talked about like a white paper. And I think that some parts of industries maybe aren't great for something like podcasting. But we see a lot of different types of shows out there. And I think that people could make podcasting work almost regardless of their business. It might have a different spin or a different look. But I think that if you think blogging could work for your business, podcasting could as well, if you position it right.
Right. And it goes back to, are you willing to make that regular time commitment? Because again, podcasting in many situations is free. So you also want to think about, as we've been talking about, how does that fit within your overall business model? It's great fun, and again, the DJ in me loves doing the shows, but I'm always mindful that this isn't just Nina Happen playtime, that this is also part of my business, and it needs to, at some point, lead into the cash register ringing. And if it reaches a point where it's not doing that, then I need to rethink it, just as you would any other marketing effort, marketing medium.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Great. So Nina, can you share with folks kind of where they can check out the show and everything else that you're up to?
Absolutely. The show is called Cash Out Big, and it's available both on iTunes. People can also get to past episodes on our website, businessexponential.com, where we are, as I say, we have an executive summary, which will give you all the highlights and the tips for each episode. But if you go to businessexponential.com, you'll see a tab right there for podcast, and you'll see the most recent feed. And again, and thank you to you, Craig, and your team for making that part of my business so much easier and letting me get that off my shoulders. Because, could I figure it out? Maybe, but not the best use of my time.
There you go. Well, that's great. So, it's great to hear. Thank you. Thank you for everything. And great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. To find out more and check out all of the previous episodes, head on over to podcastmotor.com/show. I'd love to hear from you. If you can leave a rating and review in iTunes, please let me know what you think of the show. The ratings and reviews help us get more exposure to the show and bring on more awesome guests. All right, we'll see you next time.